Last year at this time, a year ago, we observed the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and we are doing that again today. And so with this, if you're a visitor, we don't do this all the time, but we do this specifically on today. As we conclude, we are going to split up randomly into groups to pray exactly what we're lining out to pray for. And so you might want to take out your bulletin and make some notes. Also, there is a half sheet in your bulletin with prayer requests as well. And so don't be alarmed. I will ask you, if any of our normal attenders do bite you, please tell me. Normally, they're not given to biting, but if they do, I would like to know so the elders can address it. But we are a nice crowd, and so if you see a visitor near you, church, get out of your introversion and invite them to join your group. They probably won't bite either. Okay, normally that's not acceptable human response. Okay, so please make this as I'm making it as awkward as it has to be right now. Okay, it doesn't have to be that awkward. But one of the things that we can often forget is that the church in America is not alone. There are Christians around the world that are worshiping the same Savior and God, however, not as comfortable. Now, some of you may be saying, these pews comfortable? Yes, compared to much of what the world actually has to endure. For example, in some places in Africa, people will travel days, literally days, just to worship Jesus Christ together in community. And we try to get out of worshiping for an hour. And in China, just recently, an undercover Christian newspaper was shut down and the editor was thrown in jail. And so our prayer for that paper is that it would continue to thrive without the editor and the director, and that he would be released from prison. And in China, there is around church. And there's a pastor that many of you may recognize, his name, David Platt. It's been probably a good solid 5 or 6 years, maybe even longer now, that at his church, they do this thing called secret church. And basically, it all started, he went on a mission trip or a theological training trip to China. And for about 6 hours at that night, they asked him to sit in a one-room basement type of room and teach them a New Testament survey course. And so for 6 hours, this small group of Chinese Christians sat there to learn the New Testament. And when he was done, they said, well, that was great, but what about the Old Testament? And so right then and there, for another 6 hours, he taught this group of Chinese Christians about the Old Testament survey. So his church started what they call a secret church, where you had to pay a fee because they were raising money to distribute theological literature to areas that don't have theological learning. And so this church would start on a Friday evening at, I believe, around 10 or even midnight. The church would give up a Friday night and stay in there listening to a lecture of their pastor for 6 hours. I understand. I'm not that good. But for those of you interested, we have all of what he's done so far on Right Now Media. You can get his 6 hours of each teaching on Right Now Media. They've posted that there for free. Because the overseas church is hungering and thirsting for what we have free access to on any given moment. And they access it with, even in many ways, with fear for their lives. Not just comfort, not just, you know, fear of ostracization, if that's the word. I stumble. If someone wants to come up here and say that word better, I challenge you. But there is a real enemy out there trying to destroy the church, even though he is unsuccessful. And so I'm going to share with you a testimony of Hannah Lee, whose family went to Iraq as missionaries. And so if you'll give me a moment to set that up as we watch it. And if someone wants to just grab the lights and so it's a little bit easier to see, don't all of you rush at once because I see no one's getting up. Seriously, whoever's closest.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Received this calling from the Lord, but the Lord has got a purpose for us as a family to live out our love for Him, our love for the Afghans, to serve, and here we are. God, take our lives and make with us whatever you find pleasant and good in your purpose. So it was a normal day for us, and Vanya just went to the office and he was teaching that morning. Actually, that was the routine every day. And for the children, if they didn't have a weekend or didn't interact with their friends, they were doing schoolwork. Both of them have got a deep walk with the Lord, and there's this hunger for the Lord that's very precious. And they are growing. They are growing in their faith day by day. And it's wonderful to be their mom and experience how they are growing. And living their lives for the Lord in a place like Afghanistan. Most wonderful thing that a parent can do for his child is to bring him up in the Lord's way so that he knows who his Creator is and that he can have a loving relationship with the Lord and live a life for that purpose. I've asked myself many times in the past, Lord, is this really where you want us? Because of all the difficulties, the challenges, we can lose our lives anytime for the Lord. When I look at that in the spiritual realm, I know that He will not take us to a place like Afghanistan and just dump us there, and He doesn't have a plan and a purpose for that. So I know 100% that we are in the right place, that we are obedient to the calling. I would tell my children, Jean-Pierre and Rude, you will face a very difficult day today, and I'm not going to be there to help you, and Daddy is also not going to be there to help you. But Jesus is going to be there to help you through this, and He will be there. He promised never to leave us, nor forsake us.
Come on, we gotta get out of here! We have to get out of here! Come on! Come on, we gotta get out of here!
I believe they are in front of the Lord's throne, worshiping Him, praising Him, glorifying Him. And that they are just waiting for me to finish the race as well.
I believe I accidentally said Iraq, but that was Afghanistan. And so Hanalei went to where we would often think is a lost cause. And her husband and children lost their lives because of it. Now many of us would say, how dare we bring children, our children, our families, into a place like that. But the reality is, we are called to give everything for Jesus Christ. And I so appreciate her heart for her children that said, I may not be there one day to help you, to save you, but Jesus Christ will be there. That's the faith that they have to carry around. And the least that we're doing right now is praying for them. And so these are the ways they are asking. And they ask, when asked how we can help them, persecuted Christians, first request is not for guns. It's not even for money. It's for prayer. And so first they ask that we would pray for Christians around the world who are imprisoned for their faith. Pray that God will strengthen and protect them and encourage them. And also to have a sense of God's presence. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Pray that they would understand and know and sense God's presence and experience God's comfort when they are persecuted. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. May the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And many of us find a hangnail is enough to ruin our day. And so they ask that we pray that they may remain joyful amid suffering. And this is possible. Acts 5:41 tells us of a time that Peter was put out of the synagogue and beaten. And then it says, they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. So think about this. This is what the gospel does. It really upends what we think is blessing from God. Oftentimes we think being in good health, having a safe abode, a healthy family, able to pay our bills, comforts. We evaluate that as blessing from God. But they said they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. And not just suffer for any little thing, but for the sake of Christ. But in the meantime, the Bible never says pursue persecution. You know, there were times that Paul fled in the face of persecution. But we do want to pray and for God's protection, especially pastors and evangelists who share the gospel in restricted and hostile nations. And we define restricted and hostile nations that don't have open proclamation. This would be Iran, would be most Muslim countries, this would be China, this would be Russia even now. You know, Russia just passed a law that if you proselytize outside of the church buildings, regardless of your faith, whether it be Muslim or Christian, you are sent to jail. Putin's not a friend. He's not an example. And so we want to see, rather than borders and doors being closed to the gospel, we want to see God open doors to evangelism. Colossians 4:3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. This is what Paul prayed for. This is what he asked churches to be praying for, that doors would open. And he's praying this from jail. Oftentimes, when we have a bad experience talking about our faith, we, all right, that's enough, But Paul had faith that he would be released from jail and be able to pursue sharing the gospel. And then this one's oftentimes a difficult one. Pray for the provision and encouragement of Christians whose family members were killed for living out their faith in Jesus. Pray that they would be able to forgive and love their persecutors. Jesus tells us to do this in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The now dead atheist Christopher Hitchens said one of the most immoral things in the Bible was this idea of loving your enemies and forgiving those who have done evil to you. That's not just something that you wake up and decide to do one day. That is a prayer answered by the Spirit in our hearts. I mean, oftentimes we have trouble forgiving over minor offenses and throwaway phrases that people use for us or little jabs. Imagine having to forgive your family's murderers. And in the same way, pray that government officials in hostile and restricted nations will come to know Jesus Christ and follow His will for their lives. The ultimate church, that's our ultimate goal in evangelism, is that people would come to faith in Jesus Christ, not to end their lives. The best thing for the church is for government officials to be Christians. Not just that they would be wiped off the face of this planet. So our prayers need to be bigger. They need to be bolder than just wars to establish peace. We need peace on earth through Jesus Christ. Yes, governments Jesus has set into place, that Romans 13 is true, that governments do combat evil and war is a reality. But for the church, our ultimate goal is not that heads would roll, but that hearts would be turned to flesh for the living God. And pray for Christian converts from Islam who must decide when and how to tell family and friends that they are now followers of Jesus. Because in our country, it's okay, I'm not invited to Thanksgiving dinner anymore. In many areas, for Muslim faith or even Hindu faith as well, it's not just not being invited for Thanksgiving dinner, it's not being ever allowed to, the best outcome is not having communication. the worst is that family may at times, doesn't happen as often as the internet may make it sound like it happens, but families may put a price on your head because you have betrayed and dishonored them. And also pray for radio and television and internet ministries that send God's word over and through closed borders. Pray that through the Holy Spirit their work will yield much fruit. And you often have heard of the Bennetts, and they are big proponents and supporters for Trans World Radio, which does that exact thing. It sends out radio broadcasts into Muslim countries and specifically refugee camps to share the gospel. And then I would add to that that the ministry doesn't stop there, but as Christians hear these radio broadcasts and as they become Christians and put their faith, that they would begin to start churches in the midst of those refugee camps. And also pray for the provision of and safe delivery of Bibles to believers in hostile and restricted nations. I remember that was a big thing when I was at NIAC, was getting Bibles into China, getting Bibles into North Korea. That'll get you killed in North Korea. Actually, if you're lucky, it'll get you killed in North Korea. Most likely, you'll be put into a work camp and essentially become a slave to the government. And so we want to pray for wisdom in these covert ministry works. You know, Acts 9, 23 to 25, when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill Peter, but their plot became, or Paul, but their plot became known. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Church, things haven't gotten worse since Jesus' ascension. It just looks a little different. Pray that they would that the persecuted Christians would not be stunted or fearful in their faith, but mature in their faith. Colossians 1, 28 to 29, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this Paul toils, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. And then that they be rooted in God's word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. They don't have access to seminary training. One of the benefits that we can have, church, is by praying and supporting that resources get out to them. And pray that God will enable persecuted Christians to witness for him, even to their persecutors. This was a prayer in Acts 4, 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And pray that Christians in free nations will understand the fellowship of suffering and choose to stand with and support our persecuted brothers and sisters. They need to know that we're praying for them, church. While we may not be able to be with them physically, may we be with them in spirit. As Paul prayed in 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayer, day and night. So that's what we want to do today, church. I want you to take your bulletin. In there, there's a handout for what I want you to be praying for. Look around you. Get in groups of five or six. And we're going to take 5-8 minutes to pray in groups of five or six for the persecuted church. So turn around, tap someone on the shoulder, And let's pray.